The intensive care unit, or ICU, can be a bit overwhelming for patients and families. My guests are here today to explain what all the beeping and buzzing noises mean and help us to understand the rules and safety measures that Summa Health's ICUs have in place. And I'm joined today by Amy Childs and Morgan Watson. They're both critical care clinical nurse specialist interns with Summa Health. This is Healthy Vitals, a podcast from Summa Health. I'm Scott Webb. It's nice to have you both here today. We're going to talk about the ICU, right? The intensive care unit, right? And what it is and what you do there and what are all those noises and buzzing and sounds and all of that good stuff. So, Amy, I'm going to start with you. Just tell us, what is an ICU?
An intensive care unit, it's also called an ICU. It's a specialized area in the hospital. We're designated to give care to patients with life-threatening illnesses or injuries. The staff in the ICU is highly trained medical professionals. It includes doctors, nurses, and respiratory therapists. They provide 24-hour care and advanced treatments.
And I'd like to just chime in here. Amy and I both work at Summa Health, and this year we were actually ranked number one critical care in Ohio. We have four ICUs that offer specialized care. This might include patients dealing with conditions such as a severe infection, heart failure, stroke, maybe even traumatic injuries. We're definitely proud to be part of Summa and this award-winning care that we provide.
Yeah, proud for sure, Morgan. I'm going to stay with you. I mentioned there, I teased about all the beeping and the buzzing and all of that. I'm sure we all wonder, what is all of that stuff when we're in the ICU? And why are all those sounds and lights and all of that that's going on? Like, why is that so important?
Yeah, so definitely when you first walk into an ICU, one of the first things you'll notice is the constant hum and beeping of these machines. They definitely seem overwhelming at first, but each of these noises serve as an important purpose.
And I'd like to chime in. Those rhythmic beepings, the heart monitor tracking a patient's heartbeat, the alarms that signal changes in vital signs, the steady whoosh of a ventilator helping the patients breathe, those are all things you'll hear as you enter, and especially entering into your loved one's room. There may be IV pumps that'll beep when medications are being delivered, or maybe just need some attention. There's monitors displaying the heart rate, the blood pressure, oxygen levels. Those are all used to closely watch our patient's condition.
Yeah, they can definitely feel intimidating, but these machines and their sounds are tools that are helpful to the ICU team to provide life-saving care. So if you're ever confused on which one is beeping, definitely just reach out to your nurse. They'll talk you through it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, for those of us patients, families, you know, it can be, as you say, Morgan, a little bit overwhelming, but I try to take my cues from the experts, from the staff there. If I don't see you folks running around with looks of panic on your face, then I assume that everything's probably okay, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, Amy, what does round-the-clock care really look like in the ICU? Like, what does that mean? What does it entail? And how do families stay informed about their loved one's condition?
In the intensive care unit, patients get 24-hour care. There's a team of dedicated nurses, doctors, specialists. They closely monitor the patient's condition day and night. The constant care allows for immediate responses to any changes in their health status, whether it's adjusting medication, supporting their breathing, or even managing their pain. Patients and families can expect regular updates from the care team. It's typically once or twice a day during rounds or scheduled family meetings, where the patients progress, treatment plans, any other concerns or questions, those are discussed in a very clear and compassionate language.
Yeah, this continuous communication definitely helps families feel like they're staying informed and involved during such a critical and sensitive time. At Summa specifically, we usually do care rounds before noon. The RNs will do a bedside shift report every day, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m.
Yeah, I think as you say, Morgan, like communication, that part of this is so key for patients, for families. There's kind of nothing worse than being in a hospital room and just feeling like you're on an island. Like, is anyone coming to see me?
Right.
You know, what's going on? I need to talk to somebody. I need to hear from somebody. And it sounds like at Summa Health, that's an important component of care.
Definitely.
Yeah. So staying with you, Morgan, let's talk about like why the ICU seems different than other areas. Is visitation more strict there? And if so, why is that?
So definitely in the ICU, visitation is often restricted. This is mostly to protect the health and safety of the critically ill patient. These patients are ones that are especially vulnerable to infections. because they have these weakened immune systems, open wounds. We're using invasive devices like these breathing tubes, central lines. So limiting the number of visitors and visits helps reduce the risk of introducing harmful germs into these patients.
And to add to that, the ICU is a very highly controlled environment where their patients need rest and the care team can stay focused without frequent interruptions. This can be difficult for families at times, but the restrictions are in place because it supports a healing environment and ensures the highest level of care.
Now, that's not to say like visiting may be restricted, allowing the patients to rest, but visitations from loved ones are necessary and encouraged to provide a holistic approach to the health and well-being of the patient.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure it's a balance, right? We want the patients to sleep because they need it, because recovery often is a result of the rest, but there's got to be a balance in there, right, Morgan?
Right, absolutely.
Can I just add to that? Here at SUMA, we do have some visitation guidelines. We do permit 2 visitors at a time, and there are a few restrictions, such as the guests are not permitted in bed with the patient. And if you're under the age of 14, you have to have an adult with the children. They cannot be left alone with the patient. One adult visitor may be permitted to overnight as long as it doesn't interfere with the comfort or care of the patient.
Yeah, and having stayed overnight before with a loved one, you know, in the hospital, I mean, it's a tricky thing, of course. And I don't recall getting much sleep, of course, but the patient did. And that was the important thing, right?
Yes, absolutely. All that humming and beeping keeps you up, that's for sure.
It sure does. So, Amy, what do families need to know, right, as they prepare, you know, to go visit a loved one in the ICU? Is there anything they need to know, anything that they can do before they go?
That's a really important question. Visiting a loved one in the ICU can be very emotional, sometimes very overwhelming. It's natural to want to be close and provide that comfort to your loved one, but it helps understand that patients in the ICU often appear very ill. They may be intubated, meaning they have the breathing tube in place and then on the machine breathing for them. Sedated, meaning we're giving them medications that help keep them sleepy, where they can open their eyes and interact, but then they go right back to sleep. And sometimes they even might have restraints on their wrists, holding their arms down so that they don't accidentally pull at anything. It can be a very overwhelming thing to see your loved one in this state. In very difficult sometimes to connect with them.
Yeah.
And I think something important that people should know before they come into the ICU is that we might have some isolation precautions that are in place to protect your loved one and others from infection. This can affect how visits are conducted. They might be shorter than expected, or your loved one may not be able to be awake or able to respond.
One of the best things families can do is to communicate openly with the care team. Ask questions, understand what to expect, and learn how to best support your loved one. Sometimes that means limiting noise, limiting number of the visitors, following infection control guidelines, or understanding why overnight stays might not be possible.
Absolutely, I agree. And these measures aren't meant to keep families away, but to ensure the safest and most healing environment for each patient we care for. Your presence, calmness, and care can be incredibly meaningful, even when your loved one can't respond.
Right. I just want to give you both a chance here at the end. I'll start with you, Amy. Like working in the ICU, tell us what you like most about it, what you love most about it. Like what gets you excited for work every day?
I love caring for people, the patients, the families. I love being able to walk into work and make people smile, make them feel better. Sometimes it's the little acts that make a huge difference in someone's lives. Brushing their teeth, washing their hair, letting them get out of bed and into a chair and make them feel human again. Connecting with that patient, connecting with those families, and just helping them be the best that they can be. They may be having the worst day of their entire life, but perhaps I can make a change and make a difference simply by giving them those basic care needs that everybody is entitled to.
Yeah, it's so well said, you know, having been in the hospital myself, like just being able to get out of bed, right? Changing positions, walking to the bathroom, brushing my teeth, washing my hair, whatever it might be, those little things really do matter. And Morgan, give last word to you. What do you love about your job?
So I totally agree with everything Amy just said. Being that light in someone's darkness is really a feeling that you'll never forget. I will say that I truly love some of the adrenaline rushes of the ICU, you know, really being able to make a difference and save that life by just doing our normal daily tasking.
Right.
It's just a wonderful, wonderful place to work, and I just love it.
That's great. Well, it's been nice having you both here. Nice to learn more about the ICU, intensive care unit, what goes on there, what all those noises, the beeping and the buzzing and all of that. So thank you so much.
Yes, thanks for having us, Scott.
Thank you so much, Scott.
And for more information, go to sumahealth.org. And if you enjoyed this episode of Healthy Vitals, we'd love it if you'd leave us a review. Your review helps others find our educational content. I'm Scott Webb. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk again next time.